Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday, November 17th. Tonight we have special guest Mark Flute, who wrote a book called Our Brothers in the Sky. He's also written a few other UFO books, one about the 1952 UFO invasion of Washington. So we're going to have him on in about 10 minutes. Right now, I'm just going to play a quick song until all of our guests arrive, and then I'll come back, and I'll tell you about our Skywatch we did, and then Mark will join us. We'll be right back.
Why?
song that was. Okay, before we bring tonight's guest on, I wanted to talk a little bit about Skywatch me and Dave held this past Sunday night. We ended up recording about 5 or 6 different objects, but one of them was like nothing we had ever seen before. Me and Dave were facing different directions, and I seen what looked like a kind of like a shooting star. That's how it looked, but it just blinked on and went out. So I told Dave I seen it, and he turned around, and then we seen it again. It blinked. So I turned my camera on, and it lit up this time and stayed. stayed on, and it was definitely coming towards us from the south, and when it got near us, it almost looked like it was going up in the air, and as I was filming it through my viewfinder, something broke off of it and fell straight to the ground. I don't know if it released another craft, if something fell off of it, or what, but whatever fell off of it went straight down. And the object kept going on its course, and I kept filming it. So right after the Skywatch, me and Dave did live. We did live playback and frame by frame analysis, and you can definitely see it. And I posted the raw footage on YouTube, but yesterday. I actually edited it and enhanced it, and that's the video that I just linked in the chat. In that video, I believe the object separates from the craft at just after 5 minutes and 3 seconds into it. There's about 6 different objects in the whole video. It's just a little under 10 minutes long, so... bookmark it, check it out later, let me know what you think, rate it, leave some comments, and tell me what you think. Alright, we're going to get Mark on the phone, Mark Flew, and see what he has to say. So hold on, let me call him, and we'll be right back.
Hello?
Hello, Mark. This is Jamie from Florida UFOs. Welcome. You're on air.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you. First, I want to tell the listeners that, that you have a website that I signed up to. Can you tell us the link for that website so people can check it out?
Yeah, it's http, the colon / mrfluit.webs.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys should go there, sign up, and check everything out. Now, I like to start off the shows with the guest. Just a quick background, like how you grew up and, you know, what interest you had and what led you into being interested in UFOs.
Background, I think the interest came back while I was joining the Coast Guard. Well, we were in the ALPAT, which is Alaskan Patrol, and what we did was we did a lot of patrols in Alaska for fisheries. And there's a lot of objects that we saw, especially one that I particularly saw was it looked like just a red and blue, and I thought it was a plane, and it was going in a northbound direction. But the thing just stopped, burst the other way. And the planes can't do that because the G-force would kill the pilots.
Wow. So is that the only... UFO you've seen, or have you seen more since then?
I've seen probably around 30 to 40 between 1989 and 2009.
Wow. And where did most of these sightings take place?
Most of them was in the military between Coast Guard, and then I joined the Army. We were in Japan. I was outside Canada, and it was Vancouver. And somewhere in California, I was in Northern California, about Monterey.
What state you living in now?
Virginia.
Well, we're having you on because of the book you wrote, Our Brothers in the Sky. Can you tell us about the book?
A lot of research went into that. There's more to the phenomenon because everything intercorrelates between 2012, the beginning, and what I want to do is put a book out with a message to get, look, this is what's really going on. This is the beginning. And I've listed a complete, as much coordinates as they would let me, every sighting I could from 50,000 years to show that's not, it's not just random. It's been going on since even pre-recorded history. It's been going on a long time. So I wanted to get that information out there because people usually touch on bits and pieces, but you really got to uncover it all. So that way you get a full picture.
Yeah. Now, I see we have something in common. We were both born in Connecticut. I was born in Derby. You were born in Waterbury. That's pretty cool. I actually went to Crosby High when I moved back up there. In your bio, it says that you wrote the book. Let's see what it says. Oh, because that a true book has never been written by the skeptics.
It's basically because the books that you get to read, gives you a little bit, but the skeptics seem to come up, and every time you've heard a skeptic, they've always been able to have something that, if you listen to it, it comes out to be garble. It's garbage. They never really give you an answer for it. So I wanted to write something that it shows, look, you can't, and put into there, because the universal language is math and physics.
Yeah.
In fact, in one chapter in the book, in the debunking of the bunkers, I even used the Roswell formula in there, and to show how stupid that it sounds once you start to think about it. So that's mainly the books I've read, like Fingerprints of the God was good, but every skeptic seems to be coming forth, but they never really touch on the subject, really. They never have an answer.
Let's see here. So when did your book, when did it become published?
Well, after they stopped hacking it, it became published May of 2009.
They hacked it and actually put it out.
They kept chopping it and saying, you can't put this in there, you can't put this in there. That's why I decided to write e-books to say, okay, this is what I couldn't keep in.
So actually your e-book contains a lot more information than the actual book does?
The e-book is from them. It's the book that's on sale. You can either buy the e-book or that. But what I'm doing is I'm coming up with little e-books like The True Beginning, The Washington Site. I'm going to come up with e-books in there, the ones that they chopped up and wouldn't let me print up. So all those, I think the antimatter from the Air Force and stuff, I think that's going to be 70 pages because they hacked that much out.
Do you believe that the government may have antimatter? They say they have minuscule amounts, but...
Well, it's minuscule amounts because of the size they got, but if you go to Fermi Labs in Chicago, they've been experimenting with that for since the 80s, and I think they've only had a one-third of a gram. They came when people started to find out it was there.
Okay. And what are the titles of the other UFO books you wrote?
This Clues of the Past, which is basically the beginning, and then there's The True Beginnings, because there was a person that sent me a file, and what it was in 1975, this person in France met these beings, and they kind of explained and cut the Bible to what it was really was, taking out the mysticism and the flowery garbage. And because a lot of it's poetics, if you think about it, the Bible was translated by King James, and King James was the first person to have an English Bible, but the only people who could read it were the nobles. People like you and I couldn't read at that time.
Yeah, I believe it came out in like 1611, the King James Version.
Yep.
In your opinion, does the Bible contain proof of UFOs?
Actually, it does. If you read it, especially where it says Genesis, there's a part specifically that says that and the sons of God came down and saw the daughters of men were fair and bore children to them. That's physical beings having intercourse with a female, and it breeds the hybrid race.
your bio, I was reading this, while you were in the military, says that you you started realizing water did not taste the same, and you could feel it all around you. Can you explain that? What was it?
Well, think about it. If you can remember as far back when you were small.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about how even just the food taste, the water taste, everything is different now. I mean, between the chemicals, between the elements that are in there, it's just the air, we're destroying this planet where the air is thin or bad. You can feel it around you as far as the whole atmosphere is different from the time when you were young.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, everything, you know, there's everything's contaminated. Everything that we eat, drink, and in the air. So about the 1952 Washington incident, I am kind of familiar about the event, but I'm not 100% familiar. Can you tell us exactly what happened that day, and what footage?
They had a lot of objects on the radar. And they had a lot of objects on their radar. And what happened was they had some guy that, Barnes, he was a supervisor. He came out there to see if the radar was faulty. And it was okay. But they had so many UFOs that were over there and over the Washington. They had jet chases because they had to send the Air Force in there. And each time that the Air Force went in there, it was like nothing when they came down. I think it went like twice. It was almost like a cat and mouse game between the aliens and them. Pretty much, that's just a synopsis of what happened. If you're able to see into it, there's a lot more. As far as it was basically a synopsis of that's about what really happened, but it came up like four or five times. I think the controller Barnes was the first one to even write half the stuff that he put into it, but the FAA even kept it out, because he even put one quote that a bright orange light and he couldn't tell what was behind it. So it was fast.
Now, another thing that I've seen you've done some research in is, ancient cave paintings and drawings and all that going back thousands of years in history. Can you give us some examples that you know of?
Examples like, it's kind of hard because what you got to do is going that far back, you've got to actually take, let's say the cave art in France. You could actually go back and find literally history into it. I spent like days in the library going back to see the French arts, the cave arts, the Egyptians, all that. It took me literally 4 years to 5 years to come up with enough evidence to say, okay, this has been going on here, going on. You've got to actually research that far back. You can't start in like 1947. Roswell was a pivotal point. That was just the mark that where, okay, actually it was before Roswell. The time that really set the UFO in was Mount Rainier, Washington.
Yeah.
Okay, we haven't been without them ever since. But reality-wise, they've been here before. I mean, they've been a part of human history, because we wouldn't even be this far in advance now. We're still basically, I would say not even on the scales of a civilization being advanced. One physicist put it as there's four types of civilizations. The type one can utilize the planet as its source of energy, and then you go on type two, which is start using the elements of rain and thunder and the storms, and type three is using a planetary, and then type four is a cosmos, able to use the power from that. We haven't even sconed that, so he puts it as a type zero, but I think we're on a negative basis, but we're still farther than we should be if there wasn't no intervention at all.
Okay, we're getting some questions from the listeners.
Okay.
One wants to know if you can describe a some of the airline sightings that are in your book, like the Japan incident.
Well, that was that. The Japan incident was actually a good one. This guy had 29 years of flight experience, and these UFOs were in formation. And what it was he was able to get so close and see it, and the intense heat. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The intense heat from the objects was like burning his face. He called in, and they were able to say, "Hey, you've got a flight of three in trail." I mean, it was able to follow him all the way. He was getting so paranoid that the tower even called the military, and the military, of course, didn't take any action. But he even described it in his report what he saw, and they even put it as a UFO. But the FAA, no paperwork, nothing.
Now that was while they were flying over Alaska, right?
Correct.
Another question from a listener. They want to know if you've seen the 2012 movie yet, and if so.
Not yet. I haven't. I've been actually researching 2012. I'm trying to get a synopsis before I even went to the movies.
Yeah. What's your take on it? Are you a believer?
Well, reality, everything happens in cycles. I believe, yeah, because if you think about it, everything happens in cycles. Cycles never really end, okay? What killed the dinosaurs could have been that. And
yeah.
Reality is the dinosaur is not as thinking as a human being is. So I'm very well thinking that if human beings can adapt, you know, you can survive. If not, then you're going to end up extinct. Reality is that's why it's so important to get a message out there. Yeah, I believe in it, but you can't save the world, but hopefully people can try and plant that seed to save themselves and get together as a community.
In that, they say there's been a lot of claims that you know, all these different things correlate. Like, of course, the Mayans are always mentioned, Nostradamus, the I Ching in China. Have you studied that at all? Is there actually...
I'm not too familiar with the I Ching. I am familiar with the Mayan calendar, and the Mayan calendar is what I look at it as. When it goes in 2012, it was stopped as a new fire. It's supposed to be a rebirth.
Yeah.
So, can that mean that maybe the good is able to replant? Does it mean that the good will survive? Does it mean that these entities will be able to show forth? That part is questionable. Nobody knows the answer to that, but I kind of believe that, yeah, the Mayans are probably closest. The Indians had several. You know, so yeah, I'm not too familiar with the I Ching. I've only heard about that once. But yeah, I would probably stake it on the Mayan calendar for something that's been predicting the lunar eclipses 1,000 years past their death, and they've got a heck of a track record.
Yeah, it's amazing the technology and knowledge they had, you know, back then. I mean...
Well, if you look at the Sumerian text, too, which I covered, I mean, you've had...
Yeah.
Kings that said that these kings from Mars took them up there and taught them stuff. Reality is he had to be taught something, because I don't know about most people. I know I did. I had to go to school to learn the alphabet, learn how math, learn this.
Yeah.
There was no schools in that time, so you had to have something teach them. It's just like there was a saying that, you know, caveman grunted and groaned. They didn't talk because you couldn't learn the language.
Yeah.
So how did you go from ugh to screw this, I want a steak?
What was I going to say about the, another listener's question. I don't know if you covered it, if that's what you were talking about, but what opened your eyes to it in the Coast Guard? Was that the sighting you talked about, your first sighting, or was it something different?
To tell you the truth, I always had a thought that it was a possibility, because I believe that everything and anything is possible, even when I was younger. But the sighting was one, but when I was asking superiors about it, and I either got the not going to talk about it or we can't talk about it, it's like, to me, that never worked. It's not an answer. Just like when your parents say, don't do that. Why? Because. No, and that doesn't work for me either. So that kind of opened the eyes to do research, because, no, there's got to be an answer. There's got to be a reason.
And you also served in the Army National Guard. Did you? Were you
Yep.
stationed in any other countries?
The only, like I said, the only country outside of that was Japan. I was in Yokosuka.
Yeah, what's your take on the Sumerians? It's kind of weird how, you know, we go from no language at all to the Sumerian text, and you know, there's a theories out there that maybe these gods, they say, were extraterrestrials, Anunnakis.
Well, actually, they were called, you know, what I've gotten was the Elohim. That's what the major founding, because it was actually in the Hebrew terms, but the modern Jews don't even use that term now. But my take as Sumerian text, yeah, but if you look at it, it was most of them was symbols, Sumerian text, but if you look at some of the crop circles, some of those things were Celtic language. And one particular was in Hebrew. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't speak Hebrew. That should have been a wake-up call as it was, but only certain people would probably tip off to that.
Yeah, there's definitely, you can definitely tell a difference between man-made crop circles and ones that aren't.
Right.
I know there's a lot of crop circles that happen in the U.S., but for some reason they don't get reported as much as the U.K. ones. I don't know if they're you know, as good as the ones in the U.K. because there's been some amazing crop circles formed there. But
I found out recently there was one in Kennewick, Kennewick, Washington. But we hear about those because I think, like I said, it's the United States. I mean. The United States covers up a lot more. I mean, there was one particular incident when I think it was a French prime minister was getting really upset that the United States wasn't going to come clean or, you know, hey, you're going to talk, you got to get this out. And a certain president decided to say that, no, they'll believe what we tell them because the majority of Americans have an IQ below 60.
Let's talk about disclosure. Have you... read up on the Disclosure Project or participated in any forums?
I've read up on it, and I'm 100% for it. I think that, you know, what happens if you sign petitions, you go through, but the notions would be, especially writing this, like when I was living in Vegas for a while, writing the Harry Reid, usually sometimes when you write a letter, it just gets thrown away, but reality is it's got to come from a forum. It's got to be a group of people going down there and say, hey, we need to do this. And one person ain't going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
It's got to be a group because, to me, it's about time. You know, I think it's gone way overboard. Okay, yeah, I can understand the certain degrees. Certain degrees I can understand. You're talking about 1947 now in that era. Okay, it's just after World War II. Okay, you got American was a different thought pattern. And you're going to say, well, okay, we can win the war, but, oh, by the way, there's these flying things in the sky. We really can't do nothing about it, but don't really worry about it. It just sounds stupid. So, yeah, okay, in that particular, yeah. But now it's getting to the point where, no, this actually belongs in education because a lot of those things that you can learn technology-wise, reality-wise, it belongs to where you can learn in education. You can better yourselves because that's what's supposed to be, bettering yourself as a species.
Yeah, we in the ufology group, we UFO believers, we all participated in the Million Facts on Washington. For Obama, when he took office, he would have, you know, million faxes, letters, and emails asking him for disclosure. And I voted for him, hoping for change, like he said, and I hope he does, but... I don't know if they'll truly ever release anything. You know, who knows what they have. It may be a matter of national security. They don't want other countries knowing what they have. They want the countries to believe that they're UFOs they're seeing and not American spy planes or technology.
Well, you got some that are real, because I'm sure not every single, because I'm sure there is technology out there they're testing. That's a given. But you got to look at the other spectrum too. I mean, one president ain't going to be able to change it because, to me, and I have my theories on it. I really don't think this country had a real president since JFK. Reading about that, you know, I think that when he got shot, that was kind of a message saying, "Okay, you do as you're told, or this is going to happen." And I really don't see anything to that from that. So, in other words, there was no other like Kennedy. He was just that was the last one.
Yeah. They, supposedly there's 20 levels above the president, but, you know, since I've been researching this, you know, you can't help but get into the politics side of it, and, you know.
Everything really intercorrelates. I mean,
yeah.
Well, look at that, look at the beginning. It's once you start, you can't uncover one without researching the other because it all fits together.
Yeah, and I learned that the president is just a face, a good speaker for
a great marionette puppet.
Yeah, that's what he is. And it's sad because, you know, we try to portray to the world that he makes every decision and all that. I'd like to welcome Kathy to the show. Thank you for listening in. Have you read a book called Out There by Howard Blum?
No, I haven't.
Very good book. I just started reading it this weekend. It talks a lot about inside government projects, doing research on UFOs and with remote viewing and stuff like that. It's a really good book to read. It's called Out There by Howard Blum, B-L-U-M. It's an old book, but it's a good book. I'm about chapter 6 now, and it's really amazing, some of the stuff that's in there. I'm going to have to finish it.
Sounds good. It touches on a lot of, from what you just said, it touches on a lot that, from the point as far as remote viewing, it's like we've got talents in our minds that we haven't even been able to tap yet because we get in this rut of rat race of going to work, and then our minds aren't able to expand. Our minds are not able to progress to get to those levels.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at the Bibles, you look at Sumerian texts, some of these people had abilities that we haven't even gone. The average human now uses about 10% of his brain. We don't even open doors where we can get to that ability because we're just so caught up in this rat race instead of saying, hey, we've got to progress. We've got to slow down because really, and I've had my beliefs as far as money being really a deterrent more than anything. Yeah, okay, it's an energy we need to live, but is that kind of brainwashing? Because it stops you from progressing. You need money for permits. You need money to do this. How do you advance if you're stopped?
Yep. That's true. Yeah, if anybody wants to call in and ask questions, let's give out the number here. The number is 347-637-2930. Now, Mark, have you studied at all? I had Lloyd Pye on the show. He's the researcher for the Starchild Project. Have you looked into that at all?
At this particular time, no, I really haven't. I basically started this project when this has gone basically almost 20 years of my life because
wow.
I'm trying to find out pieces because you do get so much. I mean, okay, it's like communion. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Alien Interview.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. There was one gentleman over there at a communion. He was saying that he felt bad for mankind if it's still.
Yeah.
And reality is it's like, okay, you're one person's ideology or one person's viewpoint, but they're not getting the whole picture. It's like you're not finding out why, starting from, okay, this happened, and it stops at this happened, and you're not researching the whole thing, why did it happen or what's going on. So you're not really, I mean, if you can look on the internet, you can get some good stuff, but then you get a lot of garbage because you can't, you know, and unless you can weed out the garbage to find the truth, you're going to be in the middle going, which way is up?
Now, I know you're probably very familiar with the Bible. Do you think our origins are of extraterrestrial making?
Well, I'm going to answer it this way. I've heard people say that's ridiculous, but what's more ridiculous? A physical advanced being able to create from intercourse or a spirit that has no form to create. You have to be physical to create. So sometimes you have to go, logic must give weight to physics. So, yeah, I believe I prefer the term advanced because I don't look at it extra because if you want to go extraterrestrial, we are because pre-Adamic man to us is a complete DNA change too.
So is it possible to believe in the Bible and believe we come from
Well, if you take, okay, the Bible is, okay, like I said, we're not even using the words, like where it says God. It wasn't God, it was Elohim, or El, or Yahweh. Okay, so you already mistook a word there. Okay, now, like in the other, there was giants in those days. No, the correct word was the Hebrew word Nephilim, which translate to those who came down from the sky. So, I mean, you already have your answer, but you have to kind of look in depth and get through the flowery, poetic stuff, because you kind of have to read like a police report instead of interpreting it as spiritual or mysticism or something that doesn't exist.
Have you ever read the Mahabharata or the
I've started
Ramayana?
In fact, and it's funny you asked that, because I started reading that just the other day, just trying to get through some of it.
Wow, yeah, it took me about a year to read that thing. So much knowledge, I forgot the beginning of it by the time I was finished with it. It's got a lot of
interesting stories in it.
Yeah, and they say it's some of the oldest text, second to the Sumerians as well.
What I put was in the beginning was I wrote that ebook because there was a lot of speculation. But what happened was 1975. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Rael.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He met with the Elohims, and he wrote down something in 1975 of where what the Bible actually meant. And it's funny because a lot of people haven't even seen that book or that.
Yeah.
In fact, I even put that as an attachment or in the self-help where people could just download that. It doesn't cost anything. Just go grab it. It's free.
I've read it.
But it put it forward what it was translating. When you read it, you look at it like, okay, now that makes more sense. Okay, it's like Genesis 1:2, where it said, "And the Spirit of God moved." What it meant was, "And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the force of waters." What it said it meant was, the scientists made reconnaissance flights and what you might call artificial satellites were placed around the Earth to study its makeup and its atmosphere. The Earth was at the time completely covered with water and thick. It gives you a better insight so that you're able to understand it more, where you go, okay, now that makes more sense. You know, and I think that would probably open up a lot of eyes or open up a lot of doors. And that's why I said I left it over there. They can go.
Yeah,
and,
I got
and grow.
For the listeners, I just posted the link to go straight to it in the chat. Click on the link and go to downloads, and you can download it for free. I just linked it for them so they can check that out. Let me check which one. It's the Intelligent Design book. That's the one
yep.
I read. Yes. Yep. Okay, so go there and click English, then go to Downloads, and download Intelligent Design as a free ebook. It's a very interesting story, and it does explain a lot, and it's amazing if it's true. Now, do you participate in any UFO groups? Do you do any sky watching or hobbies?
Usually I would sky watch myself. It's like because of ufology groups that I've was to, but I kept moving around. Now that I'm out of the military, trying to get myself back situated. I'm trying to look for ones that are in Virginia, so if any listeners out there know, they can email me right from the site, or they can leave a little comment in the comments on the page.
Yeah, I tell you what, I got a really good friend that runs a group up there in Virginia, Terrell Copeland. He was on UFO Hunters Alien Contact episode. Him and Cameron Pack run a great group up there. They get together. I'll find a link for you, and I'll give it to you or put you in touch with him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got great stories, and I don't know how often they meet, but they meet and share stuff with each other. Before I brought you on, I was talking about we did a Skywatch this week. I tried to start a Skywatch group here where I live, and we did. We have, you know, a few members, but where I live, it's like a peninsula that goes out into the Gulf of Mexico, like 7 miles, and the rest of the state bypasses us. So there ain't too many people around that we can get, but we've been doing Skywatches since April, and we've filmed over 60 objects, but Sunday we did a Skywatch, and one of the objects we seen actually dropped something out of it. Like, it separated, but the piece that separated fell straight to the ground. It was one of the best sightings I've ever had, and we actually got it on film. We filmed 6 of them that night. Most of the time we get star-like objects that change direction, flash, and change speed and stuff. And we always check for satellites. And the ones that stay on a straight course and don't do nothing, we assume are satellites. But I enhanced the video, and it's probably one of the... It's up there with some of the best videos that we've caught so far. It's definitely one of the best sightings in real time that I've seen.
That'll be good. I'd like to see that. I think the best thing is the day sightings.
Yeah. I've gotten some day photos. I haven't gotten any day footage yet. I've only had my new night vision camera for about 4 months. And before that, I would carry my camera with me when I walked a dog, and I caught about 4 or 5 good photos with objects in it. One was like a silver disc object. The others were, there was a helicopter flying around, and I took a picture of the helicopter, but when I reviewed the film on the computer, there was 3 objects in a formation. All around the sky. I actually won the 2009 UFO International Skywatch that was held on October 21st. I won it for best photo. Yeah.
Congratulations on that one.
Yeah, thank you. The prize is autographed photos to me from people like Nick Pope and a few other good ones who... I've had him on the show. And the thing about this year's was that it was only a 24-hour Skywatch. Next year they're planning a Skywatch that's for a few days. So.
Well, once my brother gets back from Kosovo, we're going to have to send you an email because before I left Nevada, him and I and my brother Joey, we took a trip down to Area 51 in that area. We have to tell you what we saw. It was kind of fun, but to tell you the truth, I think a lot of that stuff is gone by now. I think they've actually relocated that somewhere in Utah.
Yeah, they have pretty good evidence that it's all relocated to Dugway Proving Grounds. I don't know if you watch UFO Hunters.
Yep.
Had Bill Burns on the show 2 weeks ago. One of the last shows they did was about Dugway, the new Area 51. It's the most restricted airspace in the world, and they actually had photos of like an 80-truck convoy disappearing underground. It's like in one picture it's there, and the next one it's underground. So and there's such a big perimeter, they're buying up so much land around it. And one guy caught a photo of a huge laser. It almost looked like an arc welder about 5 miles away, and it shot a laser straight up in the sky. That was a good episode. So I think if they moved it anywhere, they probably moved it there.
The reality is it's like maybe they're not really, I mean, I don't want to sound too bad, but they're not as smart as they think. It's like there used to be the old saying where, I don't know if you remember the old thing when Sean Martin said you can go to a black box at a certain time. Well, they were so smart, they painted it white. But, I mean, it's still the only mailbox in that area. So some of their moves are really predictable. If somebody's got common sense, you could probably pretty much predict what they're going to do.
when you went to Area 51, did you guys go to Tickaboo Peak? Is that where you watched from?
Yep. We got the luxuriest time. It was the first time I ever did stay in the little alien.
Yeah, I'd like to visit there sometime.
It's not bad. It's just if you're looking for comfort, that's just not the place.
Not
but
the
if
place.
You're just looking for fun, but it's okay. If you're looking for a Skywatch or something, that's great. But if don't expect comfort.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but us here on the Gulf Coast, we're having an amazing amount of sightings. There's only been one Skywatch we held that we didn't see anything, and we've probably held 30 of them. So I don't know what's going on. They're all over the place.
There's actually been a lot. The increase of sightings have increased for a while. In fact, I found out when I got here that they used to have some, quite a few, and a lot, in fact.
Yeah, I think the internet has had a big deal.
I think it has had a big deal, and I think it was the best thing ever, because now it's like, this is how it's going to get out, because now it's like, that's why reality for me is, okay? There's no excuse to really be ignorant to this, because we live in an information highway where everything we want to know is a click away. We can learn anything off that net, you know, and that's why I fight so much when there's a little email on my thing saying, keep the internet free. I'm always the first one to send that back, because I think, yeah, people have a right to know.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's it's responsible for the big spike in the paranormal and UFO interest in the past, 5 to 10 years.
Well, I think it was the best impact, because there was somebody that's putting photos or getting them out there, but at least the photos that are getting out there right now where you can actually get to them, or instead of having them hid someplace.
So is that the only the website that you have online? I've seen that you had a GeoCity, but they closed down.
Yeah, the GeoCity, that's why I moved that to thewebs.com.
Yeah.
When GeoCities closed down, I started making another website as soon as it was about to close down. So in fact, the last 2 months that GeoCity was on, all I did was kind of iframed my webs.com site to GeoCities, so when people went there anyways, they could go right to my link if they clicked on something else, so it wouldn't matter, but that's what I did. I framed it.
I see that that you got into engineering. How did you get into that while you were in service?
In the Coast Guard, and I think it was a different caliber of people, because you have to think as an engineer, especially if you're on a ship. Because reality is, if that ship sinks, that's not just your work, that's your home. You're all gonna go down. So you have to be responsible. And learning the engineering, it takes a caliber of person where you can just grasp that. I mean, I worked on the evaporators, the boilers, the generators. It was, to me, that was the best part of the service, was getting that engineering knowledge.
A listener wants to know, what was your best sighting you've had to date?
I had a similar occurrence like I described to you when I was in the Coast Guard. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with Nevada at all, but I was out there by, it was on Nellis Avenue, and what that is like parallel the main Las Vegas Strip. It's a little further south. And it was a similar, and my brother and I were actually out there, my brother Lewis and I, and we saw a similar object to what I saw there. The only thing is it looked a little bigger, but there was one red light and one green light. The green light was way at the front, and I was like, that's kind of a weird plane, because I know it has a green and red, which is a port and right and left running light, and it wasn't going. And this thing was just going back, going forward, and then going back, looping around, going forward and going back, and that's when I was like, it can't be, because reality is, like I was talking about earlier when I was in the Coast Guard, that I only saw for a second. This thing I watched for approximately 10 to 15 minutes. And when it was going, it would just stop. I don't know if anybody is familiar with G-forces, but G-forces, in order for a plane to come to a stop like that, it would probably slam you into the window.
Yeah, yeah. your eyes would probably pop out of your head too.
Yep.
There's a very good video. I found a member of my Skywatch group, Gwen, who's listening. She found this guy in Dundee, Scotland, who's on YouTube, and he has a night vision scope like one of the group's members does, and he was filming a single object moving across the sky, and then two objects came into view, so they started following him, and these things were making crazy moves. They were coming close to each other, then they were stopping. They were like just playing with each other. They knew each other was there, and the G-forces were crazy because, you know, normal satellites travel almost 18,000 miles an hour, and you can see the satellite that was on there, how fast it was going. Then you could see how fast these objects were going, and you know, there's no way a human was piloting that. I'm going to post it into the chat here in just a second once I can get to it. But yeah, it's a 8-minute video, and it's just amazing. It's definitely one of the best videos for proof of UFOs.
This is the thing I really don't understand. With all the evidence that's out there, I mean, you would have to really be kind of close-minded, or you'd have to be completely ignorant not to know that it's been out there. I mean, there's so much evidence. If you basically in a civil court, it would be proof positive because it's a preponderance of evidence that proves the case. It's like, not to be funny, but OJ wins the criminal case, but he lost the civil.
Yeah. Let me see if we have any callers calling in. Nope. Yeah, if anybody has questions, you can call in, or Jackal, if you have any questions you want to come in and ask him, feel free to. So is there anything that you're working on now since you finished the book? Is there any projects?
I'm going to get into the more of the technology, because a lot of people, I think the reason a lot of people can't fathom it is because they think the technology is like still magic. And so I figured I'm going to start getting e-books on the, not just the anti-gravity propulsion. All that stuff is going to be coming out, because I'm working on those, because if it gives it in straightforward English, people can see it's not really as mystifying, and it demystifies it.
Have you ever studied the reports on the so-called military craft known as the TR-3B Astra?
I'm a little familiar with it.
What do you think about the propulsion system? I guess it's said that it uses a certain liquid at negative 100 and something Kelvin that it creates 82% drop in gravity, so it takes a lot less force to keep it in the air and to move, and with that 82% reduction, they can also increase their G-forces and their speed Mach 82%.
Yeah, I think it's getting to be where it's proving the point that this technology's been there. I still think, because what you just said specifically outlines that they really still don't understand it. Like I was pointing out to the alien interview before, the person that called himself Victor, he specifically said something magical that's true, because I, being in the military for 10 years, can relate to it. The people that are hired at that Area 51 are not really hired on their intelligence, but their ability to keep secrets, because I really think that their ego deflation hits them more. I really do. I believe that 100%, and I think that they're not really where it could be. I think they're getting closer, but I really don't think they're on that top yet. But reality proves that, yeah, I think they're getting closer to it, and they've had that technology, and it's taken them this long to get this far.
Yeah, because, you know, the stealth fighter and bomber came out in the early 80s, and you know, people still look at that today as amazing technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, just imagine what they have up there.
But I think somebody said that, I forgot who it was, but if you take the technology of the extraterrestrials to us, it's, I think it was estimated at 25,000 years ahead of us. So we're way behind in the technology spectrum right now.
Yeah. A few people have actually said that if you imagine what the government has, we're actually 40 years ahead of that, you know, so. I
can agree with that, but I really don't think they've, I mean, you take the times of Bob Lazar, and you take the times where people have said they've worked on it, they've tried to back engineer it. I really don't think they have the whole thing yet, but I think their technology has come up 40 years ahead. But still, we're not experiencing that, because reality is if the government's agenda would be better people, better electricity, because everybody could have free energy. I've been a procrastinator, or an advocate, I should say, of solar energy for a long time. And now, I mean, people are starting. I mean, you can go to Nevada and you got people selling solar energy. It's like, I've said this for years, but Iceland has an ability to go a rod through a volcano, and that's where they get their electricity and their hot water, geothermal energy. I mean, we have the ability on this planet to run like that, and we're still in this brainwashed mode to where we're paying electric companies for what? Something that really is free. We're paying for water, too. What's next? Paying for our breath?
You know, the oil and the coal is all about money. The sun puts out enough energy in one day to power us the rest of Earth's history.
Yeah, and funny thing, you talk about that too, because they're talking about solar energy. Some people were saying that there's no sun, but the solar energy is still there. The cap is still there. You can grab solar energy any single place on this planet.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen in, even like, you know, in Antarctica and stuff, you can still get it. But I think the big deterrent there is the price of solar panels.
That's true. I'm glad the listeners are out there, too, because if somebody's interested in it, there are places on the web that you can actually type in. I think at Google I typed it, how to create solar panels under $100.
Uh-huh.
And the thing outlines it how to do it.
Wow. I'll have to check that out. You know, there's, in the future, there's going to be, you know, a few different ways. I'm hoping that they can harness fusion at some point. I don't know if it's ever going to be physically possible to harness it, but if they do, that's an unlimited source. Now, I don't think it'll put out. I don't know if it'll put out the radioactive waste that fission does. But yeah. Yeah, the people in the chat are talking about the Florida Nessie monster. Have you had an interest in the other side of the paranormal, the spirit or ghost side?
I've researched that a while ago. In fact, I think it was back in 93. When I was still Army Reserve, Army National Guard, actually, I went to the Roosevelt Hotel. We were taking pictures, or taking video camera, or a recorder, and just walking up and down the hall. And at one point, we got in an elevator, and there was a little magnetic, the elevator that you ring, but when you play the tape back, after that elevator door closes, you can hear a voice saying, "Stop meddling." But reality, I don't look at it as spirit. I think it's like I have my theories now because of everything I've studied with the UFO. Like I said, everything intercorrelates. I think that death is like a gateway. It's not a depth, because you have too much proof on every single side of that. You have you're able to record, it's already separated by magnetic energy, which is what we basically are, energy.
Yeah, there's definitely some common things between it. They might even mesh in some points, like I was watching Destination Truth, and they were doing a paranormal investigation in I think it was the backwoods of Russia, and these spirits were almost like UFOs, where they would light up like a bright light and fly through the woods and come up above the tree line, and that can be categorized as a UFO.
I think that's why the government's gotten away with a lot of the disinformation. Because when they've said something like, when you said, do you believe in UFOs? And they say there's no such thing. Because I think that, to me, being in the government for 10 years, I think that's the biggest play on words. Because technically, they're really not unidentified. And theoretically, they do not fly. So you did identify them, and you know they're using interdimensional. They're able to travel at a rate of interdimensional travel. I mean, like the warp drive, it warps space around the craft. It doesn't go faster than the speed of light. So once you're able to get through the twists of the government wording, you can pretty much figure it out.
Have you done any other radio interviews in the past?
No.
We're going to have a good friend of mine. Hopefully he'll call in, the Jackal. I co-host on his show Saturday nights. For listeners that are out there that have not heard yet, you can find me on the Jackal's Head Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. See if he'll call in and see if he has any questions for you in the last 25 minutes of the show. Now, I know... go back to the 1952 Washington, D.C. thing and the Flatwood Monster case. Are you familiar with that?
Try me again? I'm sorry.
The Flatwood Monster. Are you familiar with that?
You're talking about the UFOs in 1952?
Yeah. There's a case called the Flatwood Monster, supposedly back around the same time the... Yeah, and supposedly there was a crash there that was cordoned off, and ever since they've been seeing this thing that they call the Flatwood Monster that has like a, almost like the Ace of Spades around the back of its neck and head.
Heard some of that point, but I've also heard the same thing, what was it, I think it was in New Jersey, don't quote me, but I think it was in New Jersey, where people have seen back in the 50s and 60s, something that looked almost like a man with wings flying.
Oh, the Mothman? No.
Yeah.
Mothman. Yeah, that was good. Paranormal State did a...
I heard that story when I was going to boot camp in Cape May, New Jersey in 89.
Wow. Yeah, Paranormal State's coming back with all new episodes this year, December 15th. So, listeners, check out for that. Talk about abductions. Have you ever written about them in any of your books?
I'm in the process of researching a few of them because there's been a... The phenomenon goes back to Betty and Barney Hill. They were first.
Yeah.
There was nothing before that. So that was pretty much my starting point. And I'm trying to get all the avenues because, like I said, I like to make the skeptics look at things because they never have an answer. There was one, speaking of which, there was one, McNally. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he was trying to debunk the whole thing as dreaming with your eyes open by basically putting a type of football helmet on your head and kind of speaking to you and telling you what you're...
Yeah.
To me, a that's brainwashing, but
yeah.
Reality is that was the first pivotal point was Betty and Barney Hill, and there's been a lot of abduction cases, and it to me it's taken me a while. I just started that like about 11 and a half months ago looking at it, and a lot more to it to find out, because you have to. But there's a common entity. Something's happening to, like I said, the reason is why. Which side? Like I said, right now, we're a species basically with amnesia. We don't really have the truth of the existence. The Elohims didn't even come out until 75, and reality was it's been in that Hebrew text for eons. So you have to look at it which side, because if you have goods and bads, I mean, reality is you have 70 different races. As an estimate, okay? So you probably have 70 different beginnings. And which one, you got good and bad on each side, so which one is taking who?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you remember this either, but I remember this as a kid. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was all these kids on milk cartons. We're talking literally in the thousands in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, it's illogical to assume that people were abducting that many kids at that length of time. It's just to me, it defies logic. It's like, so where are they going?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Fourth Kind movie where they say a bunch of residents in Nome, Alaska went missing. Have you watched that movie yet?
No, that one I haven't. I unfortunately, with everything that's been going on with my, like I said, I've been in for 10 years, so it's basically now it's trying to get out of that mode and the regular mode. So watching TV I don't really watch too much TV. I usually watch movies if it's a good movie that I want to watch, but I try to stay away from the news because you really never get the whole story. Like the Texas UFO sighting, had very little coverage. I mean, it had some. It was like the front page for a little bit, and then that stopped. But you only get one side. You know, one station's for Republicans and one station's for Democrats. You never really get the whole story anyway.
Yeah, I had William Puckett on. He did a lot of radar analysis on that case. For the listeners, I'm going to paste a link in here. You didn't get it from me, but if you go to this link, you can watch The Fourth Kind and the 2012 movie for free. No strings, no surveys. Just go there and click on the movie. If you haven't seen it, you can go see it at cinemaheaven.com. Well, we're nearing the end of the show. I put your book for sale on the page, so if anybody wants to buy a copy of it, you can either go to this show's page, this episode's page, and click on the book. It'll bring you to Amazon. The book is also, they can also buy it on your website too, correct? Now, I've seen you have a store, kind of like a, what do you sell in there?
Basically, it was the books, but they usually ask for like two products, so I just put two things up there. If you look at that web store, I try to focus on the books.
Oh, okay. So it's just stuff off of Amazon and stuff like that. Okay. Well, anything you want to talk about before we end this?
Not really, but it was actually great to be on.
Yeah, it was great to have you on. If you ever have news in the future or you want to come back on and talk about anything, just let me know. Before you go, I want to ask you about the group that I actually found you through. I sent out a message. What's that group? The Las Vegas
UFO? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been a member of it. Did you become a member when you looked out there?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, I joined up for it. I wish I lived out there so I could join them in it. But, I try to follow it, and I get news from them and stuff. Sounds like it's a really great group.
Yeah, they were actually the bad part is the weekend I was leaving, they were going up there to Area 51. I was like, oh man, I can't go.
Well, another thing I want to tell you about is that we were supposed to actually be in Cape Canaveral right now. We were supposed to have the UFO Info Weekend, UFO convention. It was supposed to be held. We were going to watch the shuttle go off that went off yesterday, and we're going to have a three-day convention. But the coordinator, the guy that sets up the event, Seth Wheeler, has some medical issues, so it's been postponed until July 10th of next year for the last space shuttle launch. And there's going to be Stanton Friedman, Nick Pope, Linda Moulton Howe. There's going to be tons of, you know, well-known people there. Huge expo. So I don't know if you can make it, but you should check it out.
Gives me a little time to prepare for it.
Yeah. The website is UFOinfoweekend.com. Check it out. I'll put it here in the chat room too. But yeah, check that out, and we'll definitely keep in touch. I'm a member of your website now, so you know, any new evidence we film, any new videos and blogs or anything about news down here, I'll definitely put on there. And I don't know if you got the email, but every guest that comes on my show gets a link put on my show forever. So there's a link to your website on the show's on the main show, the profile. So if you go to the show, it's always on there.
All right.
Hopefully we'll get some people over there to start up signing up and get going there. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, and keep in touch.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, that was Mark Flew. Let me post this link in here for you. While I do that, if anybody wants to call in and talk about anything, let me know. I'd like Dave to call in if he can, but he don't have to. I want to talk. We have 15 minutes remaining. So I'm going to type this link in here, and then I'm going to talk about our Skywatch in the video. Okay. Now, I don't know if you guys were able to take a look at the video, but I'll paste it in there one last time for you to check out after the show. And if you go to my channel, you'll actually see the video before that is the raw footage. And you can watch it and see all the objects. But the main video is the enhanced version. Now, the good sighting that's in there is actually in the middle of the video. And you'll actually see it. If you watch the video, you'll see like a tree and clouds, and that's the actual clip. And around, I think right after 5 minutes and 3 seconds into the video is right where you can see the thing fall from the craft. 8 to the K wants to know, how far away was the last sighting you and Dave had? Actually, this one was pretty low when it started. I would say it was no higher than 500 feet above the ground, and probably a half mile away when I seen the first blink. It almost looked like a huge light bulb facing me, like if the round bulb part was facing me in the air. And it turned on and turned off, and I told Dave about it, and I should have turned my camera on at that point, but I didn't. And it did it again about 10 seconds later. That's when I turned the camera on. But, yeah, that was our closest sighting that night. The other ones were our typical high-altitude objects we see a lot that reflect sunlight. I think if the sun wasn't still over the horizon when they're that high, they probably wouldn't give any light off. And no, we did. He wants to know if we, the part that fell, if we went and looked for it. And no, I haven't. It's kind of hard because the street I live on has all houses, but the estimated area where the thing fell is a mobile home park that's very, very dense. And there's also a big river there. The actual bay is right there. So, and there's also the motorcycle gang down there. They have a compound down there, the Nam Knights. And they got a bunch of signs, keep out, trespassing, you know, owner has gun. So I'm not venturing down that way to find it. And I don't know if the thing that fell hit the ground or not, because it I don't know. I don't know if it released a second object or what happened, but it's hard to see in a video. I really wish I had a better quality video that could have picked it up better, but in real time, it was amazing. Just ask Dave if he calls in. It was as clear as day. It almost looked like the object totally separated and had two equal pieces to it, but the bottom part just free fell. Yeah, thank you for favoriting the show. People that are listening, you can favorite the show. I'd appreciate it. And we're going to have Jekyll call in for the last couple minutes of the show. And those of you who are not familiar about the stuff we do with the Skywatch group, if you watch that video, click on my username and it'll bring you to my channel where I have a lot of videos. We filmed over 60 objects. That's just an estimation. And that's just in the last 4 months, too. We've probably seen another 60 we couldn't film before that because we didn't have a camera. But Sunday, that one object was definitely probably one of the best ones so far. The other good one we seen, me and Dave were just sitting out back like we normally do. I have a field in the backyard where we skywatch. And we're sitting there, and this big V formation, it was huge, and it had no light coming off of it, but it was made up of hundreds of little things, perfect V formation, and it was black. So as it was moving across the night sky very, very low, it kind of shimmered almost. You could see that it was made up of a bunch of little objects in a V formation. And my camera didn't pick it up because it had no light coming off of it. But as it went past us, the formation changed. And, you know, it wasn't birds. We see birds all the time fly over in groups, even in formations. And you can see that they're birds. These weren't birds. And another one of the best sightings we had was an object that was coming from the north to south. We flashed our big Q beam on it, and we let go of the Q beam, turned the light off, and this thing flashed back at us. And then it turned directions 90 degrees and went out towards the Gulf. And another one we seen was when Billy Cox was here. Speaking of Billy Cox, a friend of mine who is also a member of the Skywatch group, I like to say she's a member because she's joined us in quite a few Skywatches. Billy Cox actually wrote an article about her. I'm going to link that in here right now. Billy's actually done a few articles on me too, me and Dave, Skywatch Group, and the Evidence. and he's been down here 3 times, and every time he's been down here, he's seen at least 2 or 3 objects. So that's the article right there he wrote about Gwen and her night scope and what she does. Let's see if, nope, Jekyll hasn't called in yet, Dave hasn't called in. We have 8 minutes remaining if anybody wants to call in, like the Jekyll, who is now on air. Hello?
Reporting for duty, sir! Reporting for duty, sir!
Hello, this is Louise. I'm calling in to... you were talking about a UFO.
Sir, we saw a bright object coming from north-northeast direction. The trajectory of the object told me, sir, that it was not Santa Claus's sleigh. But I don't believe it. December's coming, sir, and I heard reindeers. That's all I'm saying, sir.
Sir, you're speaking a little loud. Can you tone it down a bit? I have my hearing aid turned up all the way.
Yeah, that's fair enough, sir. I'll tone it down a little bit, sir. I do not mean to make you go deaf. I was just trying to tell you the trajectory of the object, sir. The way it flew from outer space made me think that Santa Claus is from Mars. That's correct, sir.
All right, let's talk serious.
I've got balls of steel.
Yes, you do. Let's,
what's up, dude?
Since we're on my show, let's tell them quick about the website.
Oh, yes.
We haven't done it on my show yet for all the listeners. Weeby UFO Believers was nice enough to let me host my website on their server. And Jackal...
Those guys are awesome, by the way.
Yeah. I thank them very much for doing it, and I thank you for designing it. Jackal pimped it out, and it's not done yet, but... You can take a look at the template, and the flash work is amazing. Can't wait till it's finished, but we're taking our time. We're doing it right. I still have to wait for our soundboard to get in, but you should see the site start to take form within the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing our shows on that. We're probably going to be using the Winamp app and using Shoutcast. I've been
now,
doing that a little bit and seeing how it works. So,
if you notice, there's a lot of space outside of the main menu. In the background, there's a lot of space. I left that open for a particular reason. That's going to be for banner ads later on, maybe for, sponsors or, maybe other people who want to host their show and they can put a banner on there and, put them on there.
Both sidebars are empty. I think maybe what we can do is put in one sidebar, our stuff, and then the other sidebar we'll do ads and stuff like that, and maybe other shows, because, I'd like to get together with, of course, you are going to be involved in this, and, maybe a few other hosts where we will, start doing our shows a little bit different, more professionally. It's taking shape very nice.
I'm just glad you like the website, man. I put a lot of work into getting that flash just right. I was like, man, I know he's going to love this, and I'm glad you liked it.
It's awesome. I love how when you click on things, it doesn't have to load another page. It just...
automatic, yeah.
It closes and opens it right up. I mean, and I like the noise. This noise is awesome.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It kind of reminds me of the what's the other website? The Alien Abduction one? Or Alien TV. Have you seen that one?
Alien TV. No, I don't think I have.
Remember, it's a Ning website. Remember that the when you go on it, it plays that horribly loud audio and it has like UFOs flying on the top?
The Alien Disclosure Group?
That's the one.
Yeah, A to the K is in here. He's a member of that, but yeah.
That's a great website, but the audio is off the chain.
Every time you open a new page, you gotta hear that, and it's
crazy.
It's the same with Weeby too. The every time you open a new page, you got to see a UFO shoot the letters choom 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 choom, and it gets old after a while. It's a very cool effect. But yeah, it's a great website.
Yeah, I was trying to go for something similar, but not annoying.
Yeah.
I think I achieved that.
Yeah, it's coming along great. So what you think about the show tonight, about the guest? You know, he wasn't too talkative, you know, which is a good thing, but, you know, I like people like Stanton Friedman and Bill Barnes, who, you know, you ask them two questions and you can kick back for a while.
Yeah, I love those guests also, believe me. They're fun.
But yeah, he's pretty cool. The website that he has is on the main page. It's called Our Brothers in the Sky. You guys can sign up for it and check out his books. He actually does have pretty good books. I know during the beginning of the show, somebody asked if he knew what he was doing. And I don't know, but his books are pretty good. I was reading through a few of them. Check it out. See what's up next week, next Tuesday, same time, 10 p.m. I'm having the man on the show, Mr. Dennis Crenshaw.
Nice.
Do not miss that show, people. It's going to be a good
nice.
Show. Very nice. Good show. We're going to promote his book and talk to him. He's been researching almost 10 years more than I've been on this earth. So
he's an awesome dude. I'm actually going to be on his show on the 22nd as
cool.
a guest. That's right.
Yeah, we can all learn a lot from him.
He definitely
knows his stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I think we're actually going to do another show this week. I don't want to conflict with your schedule, but I think we could do it because Thursday and Fridays, what time you start your shows?
Well, my schedule is a little bit off on Thursday and Fridays. I'll tell you my exact schedule right now. I have it written up here. Let's see. Hold on. You can go on. Keep talking about your show.
Well, yeah, we have 90 seconds left, so.
Yeah, it'll be late night.
Yeah. And we're having a good friend of mine, Marion Hardiman, on the show next or sometime this week, probably Thursday night or Sunday night. Just look.
We're here. Thursday will be on 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., and then 12 a.m. To 2 a.m. on Thursday. Friday, 11:30 p.m.
Okay. I got it. So we'll have him on Sunday. So Sunday at 10 p.m., I'll schedule a show for Marion, and then we'll have Dennis on Tuesday. So come back Sunday night, 10 p.m. We'll be here for his show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for calling in, Jekyll. I'm heading over to the talk box. We're going to do an after-show chat in the talk box, live chat, so anybody's
awesome.
Welcome to join us. I'm going to link the chat box link right now in the chat. Thank you guys for listening,
and
we'll see
God bless
you around.
You, good night.
Yep, we'll see you around, and we'll see you next Sunday and Tuesday. Take care, guys.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
God bless. Yes, this nation of ours. God bless us all. Because I've got balls of snow.
Okay, I'm going audio chat.
Peace.
See ya.